Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. Episode 59 for August 16th, 2008. The Stinky Cheese Man. Jumping Monkeys is brought to you by AudibleKids.com. To receive 9 kids' audiobooks absolutely free, go to audiblekids.com/jumpingmonkeys. And by listeners like you. Thanks so much for your contribution. We couldn't do TWiT without it. It's time for
Jumping Monkeys.
Jumping Monkeys, number 59. Hello, everybody. I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Megan Maroney.
And we are about to do a podcast for parents in the digital age.
Yes, I prefer to call it an internet radio show.
Yeah, thank you. Would you mind? I wish you would call it that. I use podcasts because everybody's used to that.
Yeah.
But it became very apparent very early on that this was just one small thing. I mean, for instance, all the streaming video we do, what do you call that? A podcast? No.
Yeah, no.
So it's all just kind of broadcasting right on the internet radio tubes.
So we talk about parenting in the digital age, and today we're going to talk to the Stinky Cheese Man.
I'm so excited. This is one of the most popular children's authors alive today, yes?
Yes, John Sheska. He has won numerous awards, has several books. His most famous books are the ones that he does with illustrator Lane Smith, The Stinky Cheese Man and Other Fairly Stupid Tales, Math Curse, The True Story of the Three Little Pigs. He is just a really hilarious writer.
Can I ask you, in The True Story of the Three Little Pigs, does something different happen?
It's a different POV, point of view.
It's the wolf's point of view?
It is. We don't have that one.
That's terrible. The book that Jack wrote? Look at that.
The book that Jack wrote is a great...
What's that about? I love that idea.
It's a little rhyming sort of tale. This is the book that Jack wrote.
Look at the illustrator. This is a different illustrator.
Baby that got
Ado.
Hit in the head with a pie. And it's just... It is... Nothing has captured my now three-year-old boy's sense of humor as well as John Sheska's books. He is just hilarious.
Wait a minute. It's backwards. The book is backwards.
A lot of it is backwards and upside down and just kooky. And I'm a really big fan. So
I can't wait to meet him.
Yeah, his websites are jsworldwide.com and also Guys Read. He has a campaign that he started once he learned the sort of sad statistics about literacy amongst boys.
Is that true? Yeah, you know, it's not as my daughter was such a huge book reader,
mm-hmm.
voracious, still is. She was up to 4 in the morning last night reading books. And my son has, even though we read to him the same amount,
yeah.
I read a ton to him. He loved getting read to. He started well, but it's hard to get him to read a book. He's just not that interested.
He won't read before bed anymore.
Mm-mm. It's not that he won't. In fact, occasionally he'll find a book he really likes and he'll read it. But he doesn't have any imperative as you and I might.
Yeah.
I have to have a book I'm reading.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Right?
Yeah.
He doesn't have to have a book he's reading.
Does he listen to audiobooks?
We tried some of them with him.
Uh-huh.
I downloaded the Bartramus trilogy, which is a wonderful series. I started reading it to him, and he didn't really like my style that much. And although I thought I was doing a really good job of it, but he didn't like it that much. So then I got him the Audible books, and they do a really bang-up job of them.
Yeah.
And I just didn't have that much interest in it.
Huh.
We read him Summerland.
Right,
Chabon's wonderful.
And did he like that?
That was, to me, that was our greatest time together, him and me.
Yeah.
But that was probably the last book that we did together. It was kind of sad to me, really.
Well, Guys Read, John Sheska's project, also recommends books for older kids and adults, too. So you should ask him.
Yeah, because adult males don't read that
much
either.
Yeah, they don't.
I read.
But
I want to be clear
don't.
About that.
Yeah. 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 My husband reads as an English teacher.
Oh, well, he is an English teacher.
Yeah. Many of my friends' husbands don't read. It's true.
Why is that, do you think? Do you think that books are aimed at women?
Well,
let's ask him. We'll ask John.
We'll ask him. Is he on the phone yet?
Not yet. So let's do some spend, save, give.
Okay. Yeah. We can do that.
And then we'll talk to John Sheska, mm-hmm. the Stinky Cheese Man himself.
My first spend is another author. I'm big on the authors today. This is Mo Willems, another big fan of me and my children. He writes the Nuffle or Knuffle Bunny books.
We'll have to get him on to find out how you pronounce that.
Yeah, normally I save the book recommendations for when we do Audible ads, but he doesn't have any of his books on Audible. So I was
That's, by the way, the publisher, and we just got to write a note to the publisher.
Okay, we should. Because he has a great series of books called The Pigeon Wants, like The Pigeon Wants to Drive the Bus. The book is called Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus.
And The Pigeon Wants a Puppy?
The Pigeon Wants a Puppy is this newest book. And you can get Mo Willems Stuff at Mo Willems Stuff. blogspot.com.
Yeah, I like it that he has a blog. That's
he
really
does.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. He was an illustrator, I think worked on Sesame Street also.
Yeah, I like his style. The pigeon has one big eyeball.
Yes.
For instance.
It's really cute. Oh, is someone calling you?
Somebody's calling me, but pay no attention. I turned that on so we could hear the beer last episode and I forgot to turn it off.
And now to our save. This is from the Rookie Moms, our friends, the Rookie Moms. They've done it again with staycation guides. Are you familiar with what a staycation is?
Staycation, no.
That is, you know, in our toppling economy, gas prices raising.
You don't
jobs
stay
losing.
Where you are vacation.
Yeah, you don't go anywhere. So there, 600 and tip number 609 is plan a staycation. And I agree with that because vacations with little kids, especially with babies, is kind of ridiculous. Like,
yeah, they don't get where you are.
They don't understand.
We went to Mexico with Abby when she was like 18 months. Mm-hmm. And it's like she doesn't know she's in Mexico.
No.
We could have gone down to the river and she would have thought she was in Mexico.
Yeah.
Give her a taco and, you know, call it a day.
Take some time off of work.
Yeah.
Clean out your garage.
There's a good staycation.
Go to restaurants you normally wouldn't go to. Get a babysitter. Just spend that money on staying where you are.
We're going on if you go within 50 miles, is that a staycation?
Well, yes, because Whitney was saying, I can't remember if it was Whitney or Heather, they were planning this big, like, they live in the Bay Area, and they were planning a big Mexico vacation, and then they decided, let's just stay and go to L.A., and then they said, let's just stay and go to Santa Cruz. So, yeah, I think that is sort of a staycation, too.
Cruz is definitely a staycation.
Yeah.
I thought you might have steak on your staycation.
Staycation.
I misunderstood the concept.
You're not going to get back into the In-N-Out Burger conversation we had last week, are you?
That's okay. Quite enough of that, unless John Sheshka wants to.
The staycation animal style.
So that's good. That's on the Rookie Moms blog, which is rookiemoms.com. Plan a staycation.
Mm-hmm. And now we get to the give. And this is Give the Gift of Sight. It's givethegiftofsight.com. Have you heard of this?
No.
Do you have any old glasses?
Yes. I just got new glasses, so my old glasses are just lying around.
You can drop them off at the sunglass hut at the outlet malls.
Oh.
And if you don't live near the sunglass hut at the outlet malls, go to givethegiftofsight.com.
That's really neat.
Donate now /locations and put in your zip code, and you can find like a local place that will take them and give them to people in need.
Somebody's going to look really good in my 1970s style. Oh, you should see these glasses.
Was that your last pair of glasses?
They look like Elton John moon glasses.
Are they like Bill Gates glasses?
They're worse.
Worse than
they're
Bill Gates glasses?
They're the worst glasses you ever saw. Mm. I should run out and get them. They're
you
so
should.
Bad.
Are
I have
they here?
Them. They're in the car. I keep them in the car because I figure, well, if something goes wrong and like a contact lens goes flying out the window or my glasses, if I'm wearing my glasses, fly out the window, then I'll have a pair in the car. But they're so ugly. The correction's fine, but they're so ugly, I thought, you know, there's no chance anybody might borrow them or I might accidentally, you know, say, oh, let me use those glasses and wear them in.
Yeah.
No, they're bad.
Do you wear contacts?
What do you think I'm wearing right now?
Oh,
do I look like I'm wearing glasses?
That.
Yeah, I'm wearing contacts.
Well, I thought maybe you just need them for, like, certain times.
I'm blind as
a
bat.
I have no idea. Have you considered LASIK?
I have considered LASIK, and anything that they kind of colloquially, you know, you ask the doctors, they say, well, yeah, we call it zap and flap, or flap and zap. And
Marco got it.
And did it work for him?
Yeah.
It was a success?
Yeah, it was a success.
He
can only see out of one eye now, but.
Is that true?
No. It was a perfect success.
Was it a little creepy for him? Let me tell you this. The recovery can be very
painful
and lengthy. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm not.
But he
that.
Got to rest alone without the kids jumping on him. So I think he
probably,
found it quite restful.
He might want
to
do that again.
Yeah.
Can you have double LASIK? Maybe every year he should have a little procedure just to keep him in bed alone.
Mm-hmm.
I for one thing, I'm too old. I asked the doctor, I said, well, could I have LASIK? He said, yeah. I said, would it correct my vision? He said, oh, yeah. But you'd still have to wear glasses for reading.
Oh.
I said, well, what's the You know, what's the point? So it would, I would have, you know, 20/20 vision, but I'd still need reading glasses. So at my age, there's no point in doing this. It makes sense when you're a young buck.
Yeah.
Like you and Marco.
A young 38-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You still, well, you know.
I'm not 38.
You're not 38.
He's 38.
Is he that old?
He's that old.
He's going to need reading glasses in 3 years, and he's going to have another LASIK.
I think they did say eventually his eyesight would go back again,
yeah.
But
so I don't get the
think
point
in 3 years. It's different. People have different problems with their eyes.
Oh, I have every problem there is.
Anyway, give the gift of sight.com.
Myopic, amblyopic.
Amblyopic?
I'm amblyopic. I'm all of those. All of the above. In fact, it's amazing I can see a thing.
It is true.
Yeah.
How many fingers am I holding up?
I have no idea. If it weren't for the camera zooming in on your finger right now, I would have no idea.
Okay. Do we have John on the phone yet?
No.
Okay.
We rushed. So that we'd be ready for the stinky cheese man. Why don't you, I'll tell you what.
Well, I'm going to do, we can do our Audible pick now.
We could do that. Or I could run out and get my silly looking glasses.
No, let's do our Audible pick. Because it's actually John Cheska's book, his favorite, my favorite. I don't know if it's his favorite.
Oh, well, let's do it then.
Cowboy and Octopus. This book is just hilarious.
Cowboy and Octopus.
I don't know. I need to talk to him to find out how he channels the mind of my 3-year-old boys. It's like, it's just the humor. It's like there's a cowboy and octopus. It's nonsense, but it's just hilarious. Like they shake hands and they shake hands and shake hands and shake hands.
Because they have a lot of hands. So here's the cowboy and the octopus. And don't search for Cheska because you'll never find it. Search for cowboy and it's a 6-minute book, so I'm going to play 1 minute of it.
Okay.
Because if I play any more of it, there won't be much left.
Cowboy decides to surprise Octopus and make him dinner. Octopus is definitely surprised. Heavens, says Octopus. What is this?
I like how Octopus talks.
I cooked all my favorites just for you, says Cowboy. Beans and bacon, bacon and beans. And just plain beans with a little bit of bacon. Oh, my, says Octopus. Octopus doesn't like beans.
Oh, no.
He doesn't like bacon.
He probably can't even eat either beans or bacon.
But he does like it that Cowboy has...
I mean, that's great. I was just actually looking at the illustrations for this. And they actually have beans.
Yeah, real beans.
Real beans. That's our Audible book pick. Now, Audible is a great place to go if you want to... listen to audiobooks, not just for your kids, for yourself, too. 50,000 titles, all kinds of books, history, self-help, fiction and nonfiction. They've got some great features like once you download a book, you get to keep it forever. So you can always go back. Look, I'll just go back to my library and I've got 323 books. You know, it's like a real library, a real bookshelf where you can go back to your bookshelf and reread. And I'll tell you, you really enjoy these books. You'll never forget it's an experience. That's the difference between reading a book and listening to a book. It becomes an experience. If there are times in your day when you can't be holding a book in your hands, your eyes are busy driving or working out at the gym, maybe you're gardening. I walk to work and I listen to Audible books on my iPod. Actually, I listen to my iPhone. Almost any portable player you've got, you can listen to Audible books. It's coming soon, the Zune. And what a great wealth of information, entertainment, and enjoyment awaits you. Audible.com. In fact, if you want to get a free book right now, maybe it's the Octopus and the Cowboy. Or the
Stinky
Cowboy
Cheese
the
Man also is a little bit longer.
Stinky
you might
Cheese
want to get
Man.
That one for your...
get them all. Go to audible.com/monkeys and enjoy your Audible book. Just a lot of fun. Audible.com/monkeys. We thank them so much for their... support of the Jumping Monkeys show. They love kids. They all have kids, by the way, and they love them. And they really focused on doing some great kids books and really wonderful stuff for the kids. And they're very clear, by the way, about if books are appropriate or inappropriate for kids. It's just like a real library. I remember very well when I was a kid. Maybe this is why I like to read. We had a wonderful library in Providence where I grew up. It was called the Athenaeum. It's actually a private library. It wasn't a public library, but it was a very old private library. So old, Edgar Allan Poe had written many of his short stories in the library. It was that old. It was a beautiful old building. And we used to go in there And I loved this. I was probably fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade. All through middle school, we would go in. And as I got older, there was the full kids section. I would go to the grown-up section, and I could just remember all those great books checking out there. You really get a lifelong love for books when you start early. And that's why reading, I think, is so important for kids when they're young. It's just sad that the boys and men don't read. I'm surprised.
True.
It's been such a, for me, reading has been such a gateway to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see all the books I've got. I mean, this is just my office collection.
Yeah.
You guys have a lot of books at your house.
We do. We do have a lot of books. Yeah, I was telling, our wedding cake was shaped like books. Like
no, really?
Books it was. I was telling that to someone else the other day, and they were like, you're such a nerd.
That's not nerdy. That's a love of learning, and literature is not nerdy.
Yeah. So we also have John's number. We could call him if we felt like it. What do you think?
Should I?
Maybe
he's not having success calling us.
Yeah, here it is. It's
all
in
right.
Blue.
Let me get my magic calling card that has been such a boon to me.
Hi, this is John Cheska.
This is John Cheska's line. Leave a message after the beep.
I'm not home right now.
Hi, John. It's Leo Laporte and Megan Maroney. We're calling from the Jumping Monkeys show. And
oh, hey, guys.
Hey, John. You're
sorry,
screening your calls.
Out there, yeah.
Screening his calls. I
always. You never know what librarians might be lurking in the bushes.
Hey, we're so glad to meet you.
Oh, nice to talk to you guys. You're doing some good stuff out there.
Well, it feels like we're meeting, a legend, a personal hero. I mean, the Stinky Cheese Man is considered, I think, a modern classic by everybody.
I like that. Oh, I thought maybe you were confused who you were calling there. Good to hear you got the right guy.
This
That's
is Steve
me.
Jobs,
That's
right?
Me.
Yeah. No, we just love you. Our kids. Well, my kids grew up on your books, and Megan's kids are still growing up on your books. And it's just really
That's spectacular. Yeah. That's why this is such a good business, though. Just like, yeah, I mean, people love kids' books.
How did you channel the imaginations of my crazy 3-year-old twin boys?
She's talking particularly about Cowboy and Octopus, I think.
That is, they're Cowboy and Octopus fans?
They're huge Cowboy and Octopus fans. I can't read it to them enough. I had to download the audiobook so I could do
that
other things.
That is hysterical. And they're three?
Yeah.
I love that. Those guys are twisted.
It's taught them some of their favorite phrases like that. That's dang funny. They run around saying that
3 years old.
That is dang funny.
I love that. You know what? And that book got some really strange reactions, like from adults who didn't know what to make of it. Like, even some adults just told me to my face, even just going like, that's a weird book. I don't think that's for kids. And I said, oh yeah, that's all for kids. Like, you just missed it. It's not for you. I love that those guys like that.
Oh yeah. They're big fans of the book that Jack wrote also. They think that's hilarious.
Nice.
Nothing's funnier.
Have you read Squids Will Be Squids yet? I mean, that's like right up there in weird titles that people love.
Yes. We've also read Squids Will Be Squids, and that's taught them a lot of funny things too, and we have
like
it on
how
audio.
They doofus and ding dong.
Yes, and I think butthead also.
Butthead is good. See, I like to help.
Yeah, we might wait a little to. We might put Squids and Squids on the shelf for a little while longer for them. But my 5-year-old, she can understand the morals.
Oh, you got a crew. Well, the Trucktown stuff that I did most recently for the preschoolers, I went and hung out with a preschool class at a school near me in Brooklyn for like a whole year and just stop by.
Oh, you do research?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because I taught school for like 10 years.
Oh, really?
First through eighth grade. But I had never taught the little guys. And my kids are both much older. My daughter's out of college. My son's a senior this year. So I realized I had to go like live in the 4-year-old world again. Which is scary, but nice that you can leave it after an hour.
Yeah.
Which is what I did. I originally went down there to ask them for help on, like writing the Trucktown stuff. But then I realized pretty quickly, like, they didn't want to do that. They just want me to, like, help them with their projects. They're like, hey, John Cheska, can you help me, like, with my clay? I say, sure. So I just got to play around for, like, a whole year with
this. That's hysterical. That's really cute. Did you start writing when you were a teacher?
Actually, earlier. I came out here to New York, grew up in Michigan, and then came out here to get a master's in fiction writing, which was kind of strange because then it just enabled me to paint apartments in New York, which is what I did.
Yeah, it's good preparation.
For yeah, and I was writing adult stuff, and then just like found out about they needed a job of a, like a first grade assistant teacher. So I said, yeah, I used to be in first grade. I should try that. that's how I started.
John the Jumper.
Kind of clueless.
I have to say, your site, jsworldwide.com, is absolutely hysterical. It's for adults. It's hysterical.
Oh, thanks, man. That was fun to put together. And the guy who designed it is just a brilliant designer. He does a lot of stuff for the 826 guys. Do you know them? It's a free tutoring group that Dave Eggers started.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on the board at 826 NYC, which is here in Brooklyn. It's the superhero supply store. That's all his design, too.
I like this. You have the official John Cheska pronunciation guide.
So vital.
We know how to...
Hello, this is an error message from Evoca. The file parameter must be passed into the player for it to work properly.
I think your pronunciation guide might be broken on your site.
Either that or we pronounce your name Evoca.
Well, it's Evoca. That's how you do it.
Yeah, it's pronounced
Evoca. That was scary. I better check
into that. Okay, go call you. Now, one of the things you've done, and you've done very well, is you work well with designers. You pick good designers. The art in all your books is spectacular. And obviously on this website, you've done the same thing. How do you go about that?
You know what? I actually learned how to do that from my wife, who was a designer of magazines, an art director. And I just think I absorbed that early on of kind of the tenets of being a good art director is like you find great people to work with and then let them do what they do well.
And, of course, Lane Smith is just amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's exactly what... So that's how actually Lane and I met. Like my wife and his wife worked together on a magazine.
Oh, really?
In here in New York, yeah. They had hired Lane to do some illustration, and Molly and Jerry, our wives, were both working as like in the art department. So it was just kind of a natural, and it was so much fun because Molly is the one who designed, like she designed Three Little Pigs and Stinky Cheese.
Oh, really?
And Cowboy and Octopus. So they're a very close team, Molly and Lane, and then the three of us can really collaborate closely. But, man, usually that doesn't happen in the book world.
Yeah, or the publisher will find you an illustrator and you just kind of go along for the ride.
Yep, and then usually the publishing house itself, they're the ones who, like, their art department put
it
together.
Right.
Which is why a lot of them end up looking a lot alike.
Well, I think that's really interesting. I mean, it shows there's a real personal creativity in your stuff that shows, and it isn't cookie cutter, and that makes a big difference. Of course, your writing is far from cookie cutter, too.
That's why it's vital to have good design. And I think kids are so much more sophisticated these days.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Cowboy and Octopus was actually the first book where I kind of had an idea for how I wanted it. I mean, that was my idea. I thought it'd be funny if the characters were cut out like paper figures and just didn't move. And Lane just thought that was ridiculous. That's a terrible idea.
Yeah, I'm an illustrator. I can draw one for every page. It's not hard.
Exactly. He said, that'll look really lifelike, John. That's a great idea.
Yeah, Cowboy just never, he's always the same. It's the same cowboy cut out everywhere. It's so funny.
My original idea, though, was to have him on his horse, which I thought would be even funnier.
Even like when he's serving beans, he's sitting on a horse.
Yeah, exactly. Like he comes in the kitchen and he's on his horse. that got shut down.
Too bad. I think that's a great idea.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
But I'm just a writer, so.
So you have a science background also, right?
Yeah, because originally I did study pre-med stuff. I was going to go off to med school. My mom talked me into that. She said it'd be a good idea to be a doctor. Because she actually said you don't have to work very hard and you get a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. And you know, the course of instruction doesn't last very long either.
But I should have realized like her point of view was being a nurse.
Yeah. Yeah, she did all the work, right.
Exactly. The doctors. I kind of got sucked into that. I love the science. Yeah. But as I thought about it some more, I thought, that's a really creepy job. I don't want to go work in a hospital.
Excuse me, but you do have somewhat of a little kind of oddball, creepy sensibility, don't you think?
Well, I think it came from all those comparative anatomy courses.
Maybe. Maybe.
Because that's what I studied when I was going to school. It was like dueling majors. It was pre-med, and then I was in all the English classes, too, because I always loved writing and reading.
Do you think, I mean, you don't pander to kids. You're not trying to get put what kids on the page, what kids will like. This is this is your sensibility, right?
Yeah, but really, it comes out of that kid world. I was so lucky to be a teacher for 10 years.
Yeah.
So I got to take my sensibility and my favorite writers. Like, a lot of just, I love kind of like the funny old classic writers like Perlman and Benchley and Will Cuppy. And then the kind of creepy, weird European writers like the Kafkas or the South Americans like Borges.
So there's some real surrealism then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love that stuff. Or even like further back, Don Quixote, which is just kind of metafiction and funny. And so I just brought that sensibility to kind of like to a second grade world or to a kid world. Because being the teacher really helped me find kids in their own element, just see how incredibly smart they are.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what a three-year-old learns is just stunning in a day.
Like,
if we
could bottle that, we'd all be geniuses.
they learn so fast compared to what we learn.
Yeah. So that's, in fact, a big part of my message, I think, to parents is, like, kind of get out of the way. Like, stop trying to turn your kid into a Mozart or an Einstein. Let them be whoever they are.
Do you do a lot of reading in schools and visiting schools still?
Yeah, I always did because it was just such a natural segue from being a teacher. It was kind of fun to go and then get paid more, and then I could leave at lunchtime to get all the kids riled up, and then I was gone. And now that I've been appointed the National Ambassador of Young People's Literature, it's my job to go around.
Yeah, the Library of Congress appointed you that?
Yeah, just January. It's the first time they've ever done it for kids' books.
So what do you have to do for
that? It's kind of up to me, which is kind of cool, too. I'm just making stuff up as I go along. And I've been to schools, like, on book tours, mostly kind of mixed in, and it just it's sort of turned into an ambassador tour, too. I had some kids in San Diego made me a sash.
Oh, that was what I was going to ask. Do you get to, like, a Miss America sash?
Absolutely. It's red, and the letters are in blue, made out of kind of blue duct tape.
Oh, that's so funny. Nice.
And then the fifth graders at that school composed me an original ambassador fanfare for kettle drum, trombone, trumpet, and xylophone.
That must sound good, yeah.
Oh, it sounds great. Actually, I got to get that one up on my site.
Yeah, we want to see that. We want to hear that, yeah.
So we have a live chat room where people are listening to the interview, and I have someone who wants to know if there are any more Time Warp Trio series, anything new coming in that.
Oh, I kind of stalled out for a little bit. There's 16 of them now. And while I'm working on Trucktown, I think I'm taking a Time Warp vacation. But I didn't kill anybody off, so they can definitely come back.
It's never too late.
So what ages are the Time Warp series for?
Those are kind of like early chapter books. So like a good second grade reader or up through like fifth grade, because they're, you know, like 100-120 page line drawing illustrated novels.
That's a big category now, is these, they call them juveniles.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming out, which is great. Because when I think the first one came out in like 1990, and there were hardly any. And that's really what I saw when I was teaching. It was sort of a need. It was a missing.
You bet.
Because my kids in school that would like go through George and Martha and Frog and Toad, and they just, like, there was nothing to make the leap. Like, they couldn't quite get to a full novel. They wanted something with short chapters. And
I agree. My son's 13 now, and there's been a gap. He loved reading when he was little, and he's kind of stopped. And I know this is something you're also involved in, is getting boys and men to read more.
Yeah, and that is that. It's a classic tough age, and it shows up in the statistics, too. Like, they hit fourth, fifth grade when they become more independent readers, and it just they just, like, fall off a cliff. And I'm not sure what that is, but I think some of it is, like, the boys start to see reading as just a school activity.
Yeah, that might be it.
Which is kind of a shame. And I know my son hit that, too. And he just...
What do you do? Tell me, give me some hints, because I'd love to get...
Well, one thing I recommend is to tell people just to expand their notion of what reading is. And it's not just fiction. Because boys in general seem to be drawn towards genres that aren't really promoted in school as much, like nonfiction, Humor is another great one.
Oh, he loves humor. He'll read Garfield.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's reading, you're right. That's reading. It's a book.
Yeah. Or those little guys who will read Calvin and Hobbes, which is really some sophisticated humor.
Yep, he loves that
They'll read through that stuff. And then they can get onto like Carl Hiaasen, who's written some funny stuff.
He does some juveniles,
Yeah. Hoot came out that was pretty good. And Lewis Sacker wrote a novel called Holes.
We read Holes, and its successor, there's another book.
I think it's like Steps or something.
Yeah, Steps. And Henry loved that. If there was more stuff like that, I think he would read more.
Yeah, and there's not much. And, you know, that's the stuff that's never promoted in schools, and it's the stuff that doesn't often win the awards, which is why I was so thrilled Holes won stuff.
Yeah, Holes is great.
Because more often than not, like, people look, oh, that's funny, that's great. Give us something real. Now.
We listen to those on audio. In fact, Bud Not Buddy also, which is another great
kind of
gritty.
For Paul Curtis.
Yeah, it's a little gritty, a little real world. And Henry seems to like the real world stuff a lot.
Yep, that's a classic boy thing, too. Like, they're not so much interested in the fictional world going into somebody else's world, but, like, tell me how something really is.
Abby, come here. My 16-year-old daughter just walked in. Abby, did you ever read a book called The Stinky Cheese Man? Yeah, you love that book. Do you remember that? We're talking to John Sheska, the guy who wrote it.
Oh, cool.
She loved that book growing up. She read that probably in second or third grade.
That's why she turned out so well.
She did.
That might be your copy that you handed down to us, actually.
Oh, nice.
It could very well be, yeah. By the way, when you go to jsworldwide.com, just click on the upper right-hand corner, the cheese fez. The funniest thing happens I've ever seen on a website. And you are good looking in that cheese fizz, I might add.
Well, that's just the ambassador relaxing in his office at home.
Do you have your sash on, too?
I usually do.
Yeah. I like the paisley smoking jacket, though. That's very, very attractive.
That's my standard. That's my casual ambassador.
So did Guys Read start as a book, or did it start as a website? And then?
No, it was as a web-based literacy initiative. Because it came out of my experience, like, both as a teacher and as a parent, and just seeing that, like, boys weren't reading. Being in the book business, too, which was interesting, just to see, like, there weren't a lot of boy-friendly books. Or there was, and then I started looking into statistics and just saw they're tragic, where boys, and we've been testing kids since the 70s, just to find out that boys are doing worse than girls whenever we test them.
And then
the only solution was there was no solution. They would just test them again the next year.
Yeah. They say there'll be more girls than boys in colleges. Well, I think there already are.
There already are.
And pretty soon it'll be a huge difference.
Yep. And if they did not sort of do some sort of fudging of the numbers and just went strictly by numbers, it would be 70-30.
Wow.
Yeah. How scary is that?
But
it's a weird sociological problem. So, like, it's even what I saw happening in the classroom, like, the boys are not really into it, they're not too successful, and then they get out of school and run the world.
Yeah, like, that's what's really
what
depressing.
Yeah, and get paid twice as much as a woman who has the same education level. So I don't know what that is.
Abby's very involved in this. How much? 77 cents to the dollar? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, she knows.
Yeah. See, there's something weird going on there. But I think we'd be better off if, like, guys in general were reading more, and it would be a more level playing field, I think, for everybody. And what I tell people is I like them to go to that. The guy who did the website, Sam Potts, with me, who did John Sheska Worldwide, he and I are working on revamping the Guys Read website just so we can collect more titles and more ideas and just get more stuff out there where people can take stuff from the website and then make their own Guys Read programs.
Oh, you know, I want to do this.
A couple people have done that already.
I want to do this. And so it would be finding books that boys like.
Yeah, that's a big part. Male role model is another thing that is just huge, because that's what I realized when I was teaching elementary. Mm-hmm. I was always the only guy in the room. So when it comes to putting together the summer reading list, it looks like a bunch of books that girls like, because it was mostly women who put it together. I mean, it wasn't like it was an evil thing.
No.
It was like all the teachers they loved Little
House on the Prairie.
Yeah,
it's cultural.
And they liked Charlotte. Yeah. And I said, well, let's throw in some Roald Dahl.
Yeah, Roald Dahl. You have that Shel Silverstein subversive streak in you, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I love that stuff that, yeah. that came out of him. And Roald Dahl. And
love
like
Roald
James
Dahl.
Marshall.
Love that stuff.
And it's funny, there is, the more I saw, it was some real particular titles that boys just love and pass around.
It's funny you should say Roald Dahl, because the last book my son read, which was when he was homesick about 2 months ago, was The Giant?
Giant Peach, James.
Not James and the Giant Peach. It was...
I think there is one, just like...
The Giants.
The Giant, I think. Yeah. The BFG.
BFG.
Yeah.
The BFG and the Twit. He loved
the
Twits.
Twits I loved.
Yeah.
You know what? That's exactly the book I would recommend for summer reading. But it was like the third grade teacher just said, oh, no, I don't read that. I said, really? She said, no.
It's subversive.
Because they describe the grandmother's mouth in there. I think it's like in the first chapter, and it's the funniest thing where it says, and grandma's mouth looked just kind of brown and puckered like a dog's bum. And that was just too much for her.
Oh, but every boy loves it.
Oh, it's such a great description, too. Oh. Yeah, so my boys, actually my girl just went nuts for that, too.
I think back when I was that age, James and the Giant Peach was my absolute all-time favorite book. I read it 20 times, loved that book.
See, and that's a good thing. And we're so, you know what the other element I think that's really like thrown kids for a loop is all this testing, which has really just ripped the guts out of reading for enjoyment.
Yeah, because the teachers are thinking, well, this isn't helping us. We need to get some curriculum in here.
Yeah.
They're just
and
sitting
they
there
are
reading.
So under the gun. I see it across the country.
Oh, yeah. I don't blame the teachers. This is what they're being told to do.
No. As the national ambassador for young people's literature, are you going to do something about that?
Yeah. You know what?
Are you going to repeal No Child Left Behind?
Yeah, I'm working on it. I've already made that my mission. Like, I was on Martha Stewart a month or so ago, and I can just start, talking about it. Say, get rid of it. And now I can be the ambassador, and I can be the guy who says, let kids read for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Quit testing them. We're just proving to make it drudgery. And we're chasing good teachers out of schools.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, it is a chance. It's this ambassador platform is a great chance. So I'm going to be down at the National Book Festival in the fall, too, chatting it up with Laura Bush there as she gives me my medal.
Who made you? Who made you the ambassador?
It's the Library of Congress and the Children's Book Council.
Well, that's pretty good. Those
trade
count.
Organization, yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, so Laura's going to give me my ambassador medal in September, I think the festival is.
Will you say something?
Maybe not right to her, because I'm afraid Dick Cheney will jump out and karate chop me.
He still has that shotgun in hand.
He's not gone yet. But I might drop a hint here or there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've definitely been working on it with the website and the Guys Read stuff, just trying to help, or with the new Trucktown program. I mean, this is a thing for preschoolers, and the basic message is to just relax. Let your kids enjoy stories. Like, they don't have to fill out a test form about what color what truck is. Just let them play around with them. Yeah.
I'm with you on that one, John. I really am.
No, you know, and I think it's become like enough people have just had enough. I think it'll swing back because it's like a bean counter's way of running an art. And having been a teacher, I know that it's a combination of science and art. There really is the art to teaching. And it is that. It's like motivating kids to want to be readers. Like if I had just kept reading the Dick and Jane stuff that I was reading in school, I don't think I would have been a reader.
Yeah.
I would have said, why bother?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If this is what books are, I don't want
it. Yeah, exactly. But then I found Dr. Seuss, and I found Go, Dog, Go! And the carrot seed. And
oh,
I just
yeah.
thought, oh, man, yeah, those are funny. I want to read more like that.
That's what you're reading in your cheese fez, I noticed.
Yeah, exactly.
Guysread.com is the website for Guys Read, but you can also go to jsworldwide.com. In fact, you should just go to jsworldwide.com.
Because that'll send you everywhere.
And it's such a creative site. I mean, such a wonderful, you've done such a nice job with it.
Oh, I'm glad you got a kick out of that. I think it's. And that's the way we're headed. You know what? And another thing I tell people is to really embrace technology. Because I think we did ourselves a disservice in the past with that. I mean, I came out of that generation that sort of predated computers. But when the TV was there, we always had turn off TV week.
Right.
which worked not at all. It's sort of like the Just Say No to Drugs and Sex campaign.
Yeah.
Billions of dollars down the drain.
Yeah.
Like, the TV's not going to go away. The
right.
computer's not going to go away. We just need to teach kids to be media literate, to be critical consumers, critical thinkers.
Exactly. I agree. Obviously, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
The Guy's Read site is beautifully designed. I mean, this is, and I guess, you know, that's got to be the hook, right, with this generation.
Yeah.
It's got to be cool, a cool website, or they're not going to get into it.
Well, there's a big piece of that, too, and I think there's like a whole generation that are visually way more sophisticated than we ever were.
That's true, too.
Because they pick up on those details, and what they're doing when they go on a website is really sophisticated work. It's like, how do you navigate? How do you see what's important? How do you find what's important?
You mentioned Ender's Game. Henry loved that. If I could find
oh,
10
yeah.
books like that, I would
yeah.
I would have no trouble. But you've got some great Aragon. He loved. He read all of the Aragon books. And it just makes me sad because he loved to read and then just stopped.
And yeah, but I guess the good news is, like, they come back around to it.
I'm sure he will.
Plenty of guys in college, as they start to pick their own reading.
Yeah.
Or get recommendations from other guys.
I think right now he feels like it's not cool. I mean, he's a skater. He skates.
Yeah.
And I think
yep.
I think he'd prefer to skate. And it's kind of not cool among
yep.
his friends. They're not readers either. So he can't pick up a book. But I just
no, that's a big piece, too. And,
sure.
And it's not like the... You know, the classroom isn't going to recommend Thrasher magazine.
Right.
You'll see a couple swear words, and it's like, oh, my God, we can't do that.
He actually does love his skate magazines. You're right. That's a good point. That's reading.
Those things are stunning. Yeah, there's some cool stuff going on.
Yeah,
there.
And a lot of interesting design. And you're right. The
yep.
writing is very non-traditional and very in your face.
Yeah.
And,
and in that world, like the design of boards and shirts
amazing.
And hats is just, I think that stuff's very cool.
Do you think there is a different kind of literacy, maybe a visual? You mentioned that visual literacy. I mean, his compadres are making videos now.
Yeah. See, now I think that's a thing that the older generation is just not even equipped to critique.
Right.
And so the educational world is built on this collection of books that we're handing down. But I read a great quote, who I can't even remember who it was from, about like the 21st century kid is going to need more to know how to manage information.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not going to need to memorize stuff like the previous generation did, because that's all at your fingertips.
I don't remember anything. I've got it as Google.
Yeah, exactly. Google's your new memory.
I call it Google assisted memory. It's all I need, baby.
No, there's definitely something to that.
Yeah.
But then you have to be smart about that.
Right.
Like, you can't just blindly cut and paste from Wikipedia.
Right.
And then hope it's, or just imagine it's all true.
This is exactly what I've been saying for a long time. That's what they need to learn, critical thinking.
Yeah.
How to find material, how to judge that material, how to use it.
And then it's kind of sad, though. I mean, the United States, once again, is just classically lagging way behind places like Australia and Sweden. I know the UK and Canada all have media literacy programs where, like, you can get a degree in media literacy. And middle schoolers are required to be proficient.
Interesting.
But, man, we're so far behind that. We're still just, like, testing kids on math and science.
Well, yeah. I think that we haven't really decided if the Internet's going to be – is really it's whether it's a fad or it's going to stick around a little bit. You know, we're still
yeah.
not sure.
Exactly. Let's hold off for a bit.
Yeah. I think it might be a fad. Yeah. We would, certainly wouldn't want to teach it if it's a fad.
No. Don't do that.
No. Heaven for fad. Well, I can tell you what's not a fad, and it belongs in every household in the nation, and that is John Sheska's books, including The Stinky Cheese Man and Other Early Stupid Tales, Cowboy and Octopus, The Book That Jack Wrote, Math Curse, and, of course, The True Story.
Not that other one.
That other silly story that they'll tell you in school. The real story of the three little pigs. Oh, man, it's such a pleasure to talk to you, John.
No, I'm glad you guys are out there spreading the word around.
Well, thank you for the
the
amazing work you've done. We really, you gave us hours and hours of great pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that is what's so fun, though. It's just like, I still have kids who come up to me, who are now adults, actually, scarily enough. They're like, yeah, I used to like beat people up to try to get that book first in the library.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I love hearing stories.
These are short books, but think of the millions of hours spent reading them.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It's just amazing. Well, it must make you feel pretty good.
Yeah, it does. I mean, this is a spectacular business. Like, what other business do you get fan mail in? I get paid. I get fan mail.
Yeah.
I get fanfares. I got a sash.
A sash.
I'm working on a helicopter, though.
and a cheese fez.
JSWorldwide.com.
That's the place to go to find out all about John's stuff. And, of course, every library and every bookstore in the world has his books. Look for them. Thank you, John.
Thanks,
my
John.
My pleasure.
Really great to talk to you.
Take care.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Bye. Take care. Wow, that, I mean, I'm just, you know, every once in a while we talk to a person I consider a celebrity.
Yeah.
Somebody just who's really made a difference, and this is one of them. And it's so neat to see Abby when we're talking
I
to
know,
her.
Yeah, to remember that book.
She remembers
yeah.
this book.
Yeah.
She loved this book.
Yeah, I mean, it's just his mind. It's crazy. Who thinks of, oh, I'm going to decide about an old man and an old woman who like to make a tiny little man out of stinky cheese?
Well, and that's a free, he has a real freedom to be able to that's real artistic creativity when you have the freedom to kind of create something so unusual and bizarre and a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Just a great sense
of humor.
And,
you know, he's a geek. The math curse is really, it's good. The teacher's name is Miss Fibonacci.
I love it. I love it. Well, he was a math teacher, a science teacher.
He was just a second grade teacher.
Okay.
Or he was at all an elementary school teacher. But he did study. Yeah, I was going to, I think I read somewhere that he got into Johns Hopkins Med School.
Where your alma mater.
Yes. And I met a lot of people whose moms were making them go there who really were ended up in my writing classes because that's where they really wanted,
to be
as opposed to being doctors.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
But
Johns Hopkins is actually kind of neat. My daughter was in a Johns Hopkins program. Until this year, she started in sixth grade, or maybe a fifth, called CTY, the Center for Talented Youth. This is a really great program. If you have a kid in fifth or sixth grade, you might want to look into the CTY programs. It's cty.jhu.edu.
Yeah, they go in the summer.
Yeah, and she's been to Stanford, Loyola Marymount, Dickinson College. Every summer, she'd go to a different college and take a class, basically a college-level class from a college instructor. And loved it. It was camp for smart kids.
Yeah.
And loved it. And she can't go this year because of her schedule, unfortunately. We signed her up.
Now she's going to France camp.
She's going to France camp. But, you know, it was a logical successor. I really think that was kind of part of the whole process. We're very glad she did that.
I'm so glad
we talked to him. I just want to bounce up and down on my bouncy ball.
I know. He was great. I wanted to remind people to call us, 707-981-4602, if you have any suggestions for guests. I've gotten a lot of great suggestions, so email me.
You tell me that we're booked through, what, August?
October.
September?
October. Yeah, booking the end of October. There's so many great people to talk to, and people are like, are you crazy? October? Yes.
No, that's great. You're the most, of all the shows we do, there is no show comes even close to as organized, as produced as you. And I'm hiring you, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm hiring you as a producer. You weren't really a producer when you came to Tech TV. You were more like...
I was a web producer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is basically a show production. You're very good at.
Thanks.
You're just a natural.
Now it's time to hear from you all, the listeners. Wouldn't be here without you. I'm going to read an email first from Stephanie from Grand Rapids. She has one question.
Yes.
I hear about you and Leo's audio picks. Do you have any suggestions for books that are good to read together with a spouse in the car on a family vacation? Like she means listen to. I found that it's difficult to pick out a book we would both like, kind of like when you go to a video store, and then to make sure it doesn't have frequent inappropriate language in it. Last year, we listened to a book that ended up having at least one swear word per chapter, and my kids started saying beep every time they heard a bad word.
Oh, that's not good. So you want something the whole family can listen to.
We didn't want to ditch the book since it was entertainment, but felt kind of bad about the swear words. And we did become Audible members, so we're set to pick out a good book. I was thinking of Summerland, which you just talked about.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's so funny.
Yeah, I bought that for Annabella for Christmas. She's a little too young for it. I think I was thinking pretty big. She was like, what? The words are still small.
8th grade, 7th grade, maybe 6th. I read it to Henry in, Henry's in 7th. So no, I read it to him in 5th, but I read it to him.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's on Audible. I should check.
It is.
Oh man, I love that book. Now, if you love baseball, it's really a book about baseball.
Yeah.
It's about baseball and elves. But if you love baseball and you love elves, and who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Oh, what an amazing... Michael Chabon is one of our best writers. You love Chabon.
I do.
You?
I'm really a big fan. Yeah. I was also thinking of The Miraculous Adventures of Edward Tulane by Kate DiCamillo, which has been a pick. And I enjoyed reading that. And it's, you know, it's
Did
a young adult
book.
Did
she say how old her older kids are?
She said, I think, 6.
Oh, they're pretty. See, it's a broad
nine.
Range. That's the problem. When my kids were that little, Bud Not Buddy we listened to was wonderful. Highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. Holes, too. Now, these are a little bit real lifey. Mm-hmm. You know, the kids aren't fairy princesses, and they have broken homes, and they have tough times, but they're very uplifting. Bud Not Buddy is an amazing, uplifting book. Wonderful. Island of the Blue Dolphins, another great. These are juveniles. Oh, yeah. So they'll be a little old. They would probably be too old for your six-year-old to read by mm-hmm. him or herself, but old enough for him or her to understand, and certainly the adults, we enjoyed those books.
Right.
We loved Bud.
Yeah,
Bud.
And I'm wondering if she even means she's not even sure the kids are going to be listening to it. They're going to maybe
oh,
be
might just
sleeping
be the two of
or
them.
Something. I mean, they're going to be there, so she doesn't want something inappropriate.
How about David Sedaris?
I think you'd find some swear words in David Sedaris.
There might be some
Sedaris.
Inappropriate stuff there. Would yeah. there? Would you?
I think there'd probably be some swear words in David Sedaris.
You know,
but
it might not be an audio book, but This American Life.
That's what, yeah, yeah. If you're really not thinking of something that the kids, if they're going to be like playing with toys or, you know, you just don't want them to hear the swear words, then This American Life, yeah.
There's no swear words in it. Some of the content may be a little bit adult.
Yeah.
But there's no cursing in it. Mm-hmm. And I only mean adult, not super sexual. In fact, he always, because it's NPR,
yeah,
they warn you very carefully. So there's nothing, but sometimes just the thematic matter may not mm-hmm. be something kids are particularly interested in, but boy, it's a huge variety. It's probably the best radio show ever made.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from National Public Radio, Chicago Public Radio. You've heard Noah Glass, I'm sure Ira Glass. He does, it's on Showtime as well. He does a TV show of it.
I wasn't a fan of the TV show.
I never saw it. It's an audio show for me, so I didn't even bother to try to get it. But you can get it for free on iTunes. Mm-hmm. Just download it, and boy, I highly recommend that.
Yeah.
And I think they're also on the web is it's thislife.org, I think.
I think you can. Can you still get it from Audible? You used to be able to get it from Audible.
You can, but you don't have to. It's free now.
It's free, yeah. But you could.
So yeah. So yeah, thislife.org. Highly recommend it.
Yeah.
PRI. It's not NPR. Sorry. Public Radio International. Thank you, Dane. Dane obviously cares deeply.
It's from Chicago Public Radio.
Chicago Public Radio, PRI.
If anybody else has any other suggestions.
Grown up listening.
Yeah.
You know, it is
appropriate for everyone.
What happens when you go on a long drive is the radio just doesn't serve you mm-hmm. in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
So it is really nice to have more than just music in the car, but to have some spoken word is really fun. We've done a lot of spoken word in the car.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find stuff that both Jennifer and I will listen to.
Right.
We will both listen to and howl at David Sedaris. Mm-hmm. And the kids love him, too. Mm-hmm. Is there inappropriate stuff in there?
I don't know. I actually
there might
have
be
never
one or
read
two.
A David Sedaris book. I've heard him, but
wonderful stuff.
So if you have any suggestions, call us at 707-981-4602 or go to jumpymonkeys.com and click on the Call Me button.
And you might get heard like Tamiko. Here comes Tamiko.
Hi, my name is Tamiko, and I'm calling from New York. I'd like to thank you for the episode on car seat safety. I have a two-year-old who's a big two-year-old, and we're moving him into a larger seat. So it was very helpful to hear about the booster seat and the five-point harness and all that kind of thing for the littler kids or the getting bigger kids. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Tamiko. Nice call. She used the web button.
Excellent.
We like you.
Free.
We like it when you use the web button. Joshua used the web button too. Should we try Joshua?
Sure.
Let's play a little Joshua.
Hi, this is Joshua in Seattle, and I really enjoy the show. I especially enjoy hearing from so many different experts about some of the challenges in parenting. And I would love to hear somebody talk about raising kids in an urban environment. My wife and I both grew up in kind of mid-sized towns, very car-centric, and we found it to be very different raising kids in Seattle. And I'm sure San Francisco and other places would be similar, New York City. Thanks. Bye.
That's a great subject.
Yeah.
It is very different, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And kids who grew up in the city have so many cultural choices.
Yeah.
It is. I've often thought it would be kind of cool to live in the city with my kids. But we moved out.
Yeah.
We fled the city. when Abby was a year and a half old, because we wanted to bring her up in a smaller environment. Mm-hmm. This has been perfect. Do you feel that way too?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I do get jealous of my friends that do live in the city. Their kids seem, you know, a little bit wiser.
Yeah.
But then,
no, they're not
at this
wiser.
Point,
they're tough and
they're
hardened.
Tougher. Yeah, they're hardened.
They're hardened because they have to face the world.
Mm-hmm.
They see bums every day.
All right, Earl from Southfield, Michigan. Is that Michigan?
Yep.
Says, I enjoy listening to Jumping Monkeys every week. It's always good to know that being a parent doesn't or shouldn't stop anyone from continuing to be a geek and utilizing one's geek skills.
No, it makes you more of a geek. What are you talking about?
To enhance the parenting experience.
Yes.
So I emailed you some, we had some feedback from Jen. Did you get that?
I have that. Let me play that back for you. So she did what we've asked people to do, what nobody ever does. Which is record something and mail it to us.
People do it sometimes.
Occasionally they do?
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is Jen.
I get to listen to it first.
Hi, too. Megan and Leo. This is Jennifer from Lockport, New York. I have two daughters, ages 4 and 6, who are really both into reading and listening to books right now. And like you, I'm a longtime subscriber of Audible, but I also wanted to pass on some of my other recent finds to your listeners. I'm a few episodes behind on Jumping Monkeys because MacBreak Weekly, This Week in Tech, and This Week in Media are all competing for my listening time, so I apologize if you have already mentioned these items.
Never apologize for that.
First is a site I just found that has free MP3 downloads of public domain books read by volunteers from around the world.
Oh, that's cool.
It's called LibriVox.org. That's LibriVox.org.
Oh, neat.
They have several titles for kids, including Peter Pan and The Wind in the Willows, both of which I just downloaded for a long car trip that we're about to take. One of the cool things about this site is that some of the books have more than one version with different readers, so you can kind of pick the one that you like best. Secondly, I was also very excited to discover a version of Alice in Wonderland read by Cory Doctorow on the Internet Archive site. The easiest way to find it, if you just go to archive.org and search for Alice and Cory, C-O-R-Y, it should be your first hit. So I'm a big fan of Boing Boing and also really enjoy when you have Cory as a guest on Twit, so I'm very much looking forward to this reading. Lastly, I wanted to recommend a book which I thought would be perfect for Leo to do as his next Audible reading. It's called So Few of Me by Peter H. Reynolds.
Oh, I don't know that.
It's about a boy actually named Leo whose to-do list never seems to get done. And one day he wishes, if only there were two of me to help me with my to-do list. And suddenly another Leo appears. And he keeps wishing for more and more Leos, two Leos turning to three Leos, and so on. But it doesn't seem to really help his situation. I don't want to spoil the ending, so I'll let you read the rest for yourself, but I thought it was a cute book, and it reminded me of Leo and how his to-do list must be out of control, especially since he started doing Twit Live. So anyway, I hope you guys find these things useful. Thanks for providing such great podcasts, and keep up the great work.
I want to read this. What a great suggestion.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So Few of Me.
The creators of Dot and Ish, which sounds familiar.
Yeah.
That's a kid's book, so maybe I can call Audible and say, hey, if they haven't done an audio version of it, I'd like to volunteer.
You should, yeah.
That would be so... I had such a good time, but I have to work on it, because it's really acting.
Yeah.
And I'm a little rusty, but it's really fun.
Is it up yet?
You know, I haven't heard yet. Oh. I'm sure... there's things they have to do, hoops they have to jump through,
right.
I guess, to put this stuff up online, but... I want to do more. They said they have a project in mind for me.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right. Sarah from Melbourne, Australia writes, here's a techie tip for your Jumping Monkeys listeners who sign up to Audible. This has been like the Audible show. Sorry. Our Mac has been set up with an admin account and then two user accounts for Jared and I with lesser privilege, as Leo has told us repeatedly to do his Twit podcasts for security reasons. I downloaded my first ever Audible book, then synced it with my iPhone. The next time I synced my iPhone, it wiped the book off my iPhone, and I came up with could not copy the Audible files to your iPhone because some of the files you are not authorized to play.
Right. I've had that happen. You have to re-enter the password. Yeah.
She said, we found if we played the book and authorized the book when the pop-up dialogue appeared and then synced while it was playing, it would copy it across to my iPhone. But the next time I synced it without doing this, it would wipe it off again. We sent the error to Audible, who suggested we make sure you are the administrator and then try to activate once more. This confused me. How could I log into the administrator account and yet get to my iTunes? The solution that Jared worked out was to temporarily give my account admin privileges, authorize my Audible account in iTunes, then remove the admin privileges from my account. Please feel free to clarify this message for your listeners.
Yeah, in fact, that's exactly what I do, too. If you're not admin and you tell iTunes that you have permission, it won't save the permission. So you're absolutely right. You don't want to have this box checked that says allow user to administer this computer as a regular habit. So what you could do is you can log in to an administrator account, just once check the box, and then tell Audible, okay, now this is the password, and then you can uncheck the box, and you're done. Otherwise, it only maintains the password until iTunes closes. It's not able to save the password. But make sure after you've done that to uncheck the box that says allow a user to administer this computer, and then click the lock so that only people with your password as administrator password can make that change again. That actually is a very good tip. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. It's, you know, it's unfortunate. I'm not a big fan of copy protection, and that's why you have to kind of jump through some of these hoops. On the other hand, this is something the publishers do still require of Audible. I've talked to them, and they say, we're very interested in, we always want to keep our format. They like the Audible wrapper because that tells you that then you can stop the book where you are.
Right.
There's a lot of nice features that they want to keep. But they say, we're not necessarily tied to copy protection. And as soon as the publishers say we don't have to do it, we won't. In fact, I think some of the books on Audible Kids are not protected.
Oh.
Yeah. I may be wrong on that.
Interesting.
But they're working on being able to do their format without the copy protection as well.
Do you have any more calls?
Oh, gosh. Yes. I mean, how much time do we have?
we have time for one or two more, don't you think?
I have so many calls. A lot of people are using the web button now, which I think is wonderful. I like playing the web button calls. I look at a 3-minute call and I worry, but let's try it. Shall we?
Sure.
I mean,
that'll be our last call.
This will be our last call.
So if you get tired, you can turn us off.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Of course, if you don't hear anything, as I don't, maybe that it's a 3-minute empty call, which case you can turn us off too.
I'd like to start taking calls from people in our chat room too, who are watching at twitlive.tv.
You mean live calls?
Not calls, just questions.
Chat questions. Oh yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah. So if you want to ask a question, you want to come and watch us and join the chat room at twitlive.tv. We usually are recording between 1:30
p.m. Pacific to about 3:30, sometimes usually 3, when depends on when you have to get back home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Between 3 and 4, but if certainly start at 1:30, that's of course 4:30 Pacific time and 20:30 UTC. And you can watch us live at twitlive.tv.
Right.
And if you do that, you'll be in the chat room. We have two chat rooms. We have one that goes with the Stickam video, and then we also have an IRC chat room, which is irc.dslextreme.com, and join #twitlive. And you can ask questions there too. So I watch both of those at both times. Terry wants to ask you, what do you think of using tasers on children?
Great question, Terry. See, that's exactly why I wanted to open it up to the chat room.
It actually, the question originally came from Colleen. Colleen doesn't like kids, but she's 21. When you're 21, you shouldn't like kids. You're barely an adult yourself. There's plenty of time, no hurry. And no need to use tasers on children.
What happened to that 3-minute call you promised? Nothing was there?
It was blank.
Okay.
Shall I try another one?
Sure.
This is from Fort Walton Beach, Florida.
Hey, Leo, it's Perfect Face for radio again. And don't use this on jumping monkeys. It's about the iPhone.
I don't, as a matter of fact, but thank you for the call. I love that. Don't use this on jumping monkeys. It's about the iPhone.
Colleen's here. Did you need to clarify that?
Yes, I'd like to clarify.
Oh, Colleen wants to clarify. Yes, Colleen.
I love children.
She loves children. She says, I don't even know if I want to translate. She says she loved children. She just never can finish a whole one. Well, you know, they're big. Take
mine
a doggy
are small,
bag.
So, you know.
Oh, come on now. She's kind of an ogre. She's kind of an ogre, and she happens to own a taser. Well, I'll tell you what. We don't own tasers. We're nice, gentle people.
We are.
And we really are appreciative of your time, and we thank you so much. We hope we make it something worthwhile every week with Jumping Monkeys. We are way ahead. I'm not sure what's next week.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think we'll either be talking to Laura from Baby Name Wizard.
Oh, that'll
or,
be fun.
I don't know.
Just something.
So we got a lot of good guests coming up. We've got we're going to talk to a pediatrician about teen issues. We're going to talk to Dr. Mike again. So if you have questions for Dr. Mike,
call. But particularly teen questions?
No, we're going to talk to Dr. Mike. We're also going to talk to a general practitioner. He's not a pediatrician. And he's going to talk about some teen health issues.
Very good.
We're going to talk to... We're going to talk about teen sex too, about a doctor about that. We're not going to be talking to all doctors.
No, though. But that's a great subject, and I have a teenager, a teenage girl, and it's terrifying when you become a parent of a teenager, especially when you think back to what you did at that age, or what you tried to get away with at that age.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my mom used to say, "Keep the door open and 1 foot on the bed," one foot on the floor. Sorry. Already I've messed up as a parent. My mom used to say, keep the door open when you had a girl in the room. Keep the door open and 1 foot on the floor. And I mentioned that to Jennifer. She said, there's a lot you can do with 1 foot on the floor. And I thought, oh, my God. We need new rules.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you.
Have a great vacation.
Really great to see you, Megan. Thank you. I'm going to take a little time off with the family, our last chance before Abby goes to France. But we won't miss any Jumping Monkeys.
No,
that's the good news, because you are so organized. Thanks to John Sheska, not only for joining us, but for his great books. And it sounds like he's really doing great work as the ambassador of children's literature.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all for being here. We'll see you next time
on Jumping Monkeys.